Hey there, welcome to MTC Studios. My name is Mike Giannotti and I'm joined by
Todd First.
And we're here to talk to you today about how to successfully transition your business to the cloud. And Todd, I'm pretty excited about this because we have customers all the time coming in asking about, you know, they bought the cloud or they're thinking about the cloud, but they don't know where to get started.
Right, exactly. So today's session's perfect for that. We're gonna use, we have a lot of customer examples. We're gonna walk through one customer called Contoso Claims.
Contoso Claims.
They're awesome, and I do my insurance through them. And we're gonna walk through, but we have five areas that we found work with just about any customer of any size to help get that transition moving.
And so we actually did prepare some slides that are up in back of us here. You know, just to kind of walk through what we're going to be doing. First of all, we do aim, although we have slides, we want to keep this sort of a slide-free zone. So I will tell you, there is no content of any substance in any slides. We're going to be ditching them to actually, we want to talk to you, we want to show you. Second of all, we kind of, you already intro'd it, you already talked about Contoso.
They're awesome.
Well, you're going to kind of kick that
off.
I'll
do a little bit more, but
yeah. And then we're going to get into really the meat of this, which is five ways to get into the cloud. And I think, are we done with our slides?
Well, let me finish an intro quick and then we'll hit next slide.
Well, why don't we do that?
The next one's the best slide I've ever seen.
Next one is the best.
All right, so Contoso Claims, it's kind of a mid-size insurance company. I've had a lot of weather incidents, so they're getting a lot of claims coming in. So seeing a lot of load on their CRM system, their primary claim system. But everything they have, and everything they have is currently in their own data center on-prem. So email productivity, anything
which we
you can
see
think
a lot of.
Yeah, and that hey, it's what worked, and that's fine. But they're looking to grow, and between the amount of claims they're getting and the growth that they're looking for, and the adjusters are always on the move and mobile. There's a lot of stress in
big,
the business. So
using these things
exactly. So they're able to do their business off a phone, off a tablet, and just do things quicker. But the infrastructure wasn't built for that. It wasn't built for people all over the place, and it wasn't built for that load.
Right.
So really, the business wants to be more agile. IT, of course, always try, you know, can be the hero, wants to kind of fix what's on-prem, but you know, we're gonna talk to them about how they move some things to the cloud, do it in a reasonable way, but they'll see that there's things they could do in the cloud they could never do in their own environment.
Absolutely, and think about all that on-premise infrastructure that they're maintaining. Yeah. I mean, we're gonna be talking security and some other pieces, but you know, really when we get into it, you get into this whole, you know, they're having to keep up with all the stuff out there, all the potential threats. They also have just, from a practical standpoint, equipment's getting old, a little long, looking like me, a little long in the tooth, right? And so folks, you know, they have to replace that. There's the cost ongoing, all the expanding storage needs, and the cloud really helps to solve a lot of that. But a lot of folks don't know how to get started, which brings us to
the best slide there ever was.
The best slide there ever was. Now, we were going to play a certain actor.
That's right.
But we thought we'd keep it a little more professional, but we'll just say it. Just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it.
So that sounds like I should just pull all the plugs and just move everything into the cloud. Is that what we're talking about?
That's not it.
Okay.
But what we have quite frequently, I'm going to get out of that.
Yeah.
And we're going to be sharing in a moment. But, you know, when we talk about the cloud and just doing it, what are some of the things when you talk about it from your standpoint, from an Azure standpoint, for example?
Yeah. So the first thing I like to talk about, if we could just show my screen for a second here. The first concern people usually have is, if I move something to the cloud, I'm losing control. And if we just whiteboard this out really
Yeah, because when you go, you're just throwing everything up there, right?
That's right. And
and Microsoft's in charge of it all.
That's right. So here's the Microsoft cloud with lots of services. And here is an extremely simplified version of the customer environment.
This could be Contoso.
This is actually Contoso. This is their architecture diagram. And what's nice about when we say just do it, it means you could go to training, you could read, but the only way you know how to move through this process is to go test it out yourself. And the ideal thing is that you do this without causing security issues and putting the company at risk.
Yep.
So what we're able to do is actually, you know, instantiate. You could start using the CRM in the cloud we have, Office 365 in the cloud, Azure in the cloud, okay? And we're starting, let's see, infrastructure as a service, but there's much, much more.
Yeah.
But that's a good place to start. What you don't see here is we're not connected, okay? We're not, you can just start rolling out services, and specifically, we have something called Azure AD up in the cloud here, and you can start creating users in the cloud that are just up here, not your, you know, not connected to your corporate network intentionally. So it just becomes a lab environment.
So it's kind of like test
and
IDs and stuff that you want to
test do. Test IDs, and what's nice is there's a lot of options for free trials. So look at it as Microsoft built this massive test area for you.
Right.
But, you know, get a free trial, go with it. If you have MSDN, you want to keep something a little more, you know, a little more formal and not just throw it away every 30 mm-hmm. days, you can use MSDN. And then, of course, always work with your account team. There's always options that they have to help you with the learning, you know, and one of them is to work with us in the MTC.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing is you normally wouldn't just start rolling things out and testing them. And we're talking at a global scale here.
Right.
You normally would say, let's go buy servers and do some capacity planning. You can just throw those away and start, you know, getting experience.
So from an Azure standpoint, they can take advantage of Azure AD. They can start doing things. But you know what? A lot of my customers, so mm-hmm. you work a lot with on the Azure end.
Right.
A lot of my customers are going for Office 365 and productivity. And they may not have even gotten to that point yet where they've gone ahead and started putting, you know, Azure ID. They may
right.
not have synchronization set up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, ideally, we'd love to have them at a point where they can have, you know, AD syncing with the cloud, so all those IDs are there. But if they don't,
right.
they're not out in the cold either.
That's right.
So what I'd like to show you real quickly, if you wanted to, just like you said for Azure, you can go ahead and do a trial. You can do the same thing with Office 365. You could set
That's
up,
right.
if you haven't even bought it yet, so, or maybe you've purchased, but you don't know what to do, you want to get your feet wet, dip your toe in, as it were. You could get started, set up a trial tenant, or use your tenant today, and start to actually add users directly. Not that you're going to do this for your enterprise, because that doesn't scale.
Right.
We want to synchronize, but you can start to add your users directly through the console for Office 365. And I'd like to show people where that's at. So
yeah.
let's go ahead.
Switch
I've got
over.
It over my shoulder, but why don't we show folks? We are in the Azure admin portal here, and I am logged in as the enigmatic Dan Jump. Makes you
I
just want
Dan.
To jump.
That's
Gotta
right.
love Dan. Dan's a great guy. He always got a lot of get up and go. But Dan is here, and in the new Azure portal, if he wants to add users, there's a number of places to do that. We can come over here and take a look at the active users, contacts, etc. Or I can simply click on users. And notice I can go directly to add, but I'm going to click users. And here you're going to see the users we have, some of which are licensed that we added,
mm-hmm.
some of which are unlicensed, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But it's as simple as coming in here, selecting add a user, and then we can start to set this person up. Add their name, their display name, contact information. We can get, you know, auto-generated passwords for that. All that is right here. And we can add licensing. So down below here, notice if we scroll down, we have licenses. So I could add a user, for example, and give them an E5. And if I selected that, it's going to show me all the options under E5 that I could selectively add.
So you just turned all those on. I mean, that it, and
that's
it's
simple.
Just for that one user.
Yeah,
and
that's it.
You can start testing immediately. So you didn't have to roll it out. You didn't have to patch it. You didn't
no.
have to do. And so it's,
so
it's
think
different.
Of some,
it's
think
just
of
different.
Some IT folks, right, that
yeah.
want to get their feet wet. They can set up some test IDs here.
Right.
Right? Pump them into the cloud. Give them the licensing for the different scenarios they want to test. Take some test laptops.
Mm-hmm.
with that ID that they're going to use to access the services, and they could get started. You know what else they could do, though, once
Go
they've
ahead.
Even got that? The other thing is we know that there's the service side up in the cloud,
mm-hmm.
but when you're talking about a laptop, a device, mm-hmm. these kind of things, people want to have that rich experience, not just through the browser, but through, what do you think?
Their device.
Through their device,
their apps.
Their apps.
That's right.
The clients, the desktop, right? So we, again, make when we talk about just do it,
yeah.
take those same laptops, or maybe if you have AD syncing. Right. So these are your actual IDs. For a select group within your enterprise space, what you could do is have them set up with their licenses what you want to give them access to, again, to test, and then get them to download the software.
And what's interesting is some customers already have done this, and when they come in, the questions they're asking are much different than if they haven't tried something out. And even if it's just a little bit, they just have to try a little bit, and it changes their view of it and really what they need to do next.
So and that's a great point, because they're already ahead of the ball game because they've already been playing around with it. Now, people oftentimes then ask, well, what do I got to do? I want to get the software. Mm-hmm. It's pretty straightforward, right? So there's a whole thing we do around a Pro Plus deployment briefing. But if you want to download it, you can simply come up here. I'm going to click the drop down. You could then, I'm going to do it in a new tab. Say your app settings for Office 365. And once you've done that, you can then click into software. And here you go. So here's your downloads. We allow you to do 32-bit, 64-bit. It's all there. It's simple. It's easy. It's going to allow you to get to the services and software you need quickly for those test accounts or for your actual ones for that subgroup that you want to have accessing and getting started.
And Pro Plus is a great example because everyone's used to working with Office. This is a good first workload, and it doesn't put any data outside your data center, really, not corporate data.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, and the last thing I would say with this is, you know, going back to your point, we want to get you using it, even if in a limited fashion, because then when you come into a place like the MTC or talk to a partner or Microsoft Consulting Services, the questions you're going to have are going to be much different because you have some experience and understanding, because it really is different than the traditional way of working with software and the services that you've done on-premise.
And what's good is we talked to Contoso about this, and they're taking that approach. And what's nice, it's not a one-time discussion.
No.
There's always new things coming in the cloud. A lot of our customers have the production tenant where things are stable, and then they'll have a second test tenant where they get the new services as they roll out quickly, and they're doing the exact same thing. They're doing testing in there. So this never ends, this process.
It never ends. And in fact, that brings up the last point I wanted to say.
Yeah.
A lot of folks worry about getting all this nailed down before they start to actually roll out. They want to get it all figured out from, and we're going to talk about security, locking things down and slowly opening stuff up. But the thing is this, look, again, going back to just do it. You want to get this stuff in the hands of your users. Yes, we'll talk to you in a moment, show you how to lock it all down and do all that. But you want to get started and iterate, right?
Right.
Slowly open up, but get the services set up. Get the AD sync happening. Get those IDs in the cloud. So they're in, you know, an Azure AD, and they're showing up here in your 365 instance. Start doling out limited licenses and giving people the ability to work with it and iterate. You can open it up as you go, but don't hold it up trying to get your hands around everything.
Right.
You'll be waiting forever, and your users are going to get frustrated. And you're not getting value out of it.
Exactly.
So again,
so great. Just do it.
Like that shoe company says, and that actor with all his little green screen says,
just do it. And we'll help you out. We'll talk more about other ways that help you to do it. That's one of the last things, but we'll keep moving.
That is one of them. So. Our next point, once you get your toes dipped in, the next thing that people get concerned about is?
Security.
That's right? So as soon as you start to turn some of this on, you're going to have folks in your, and Siri is now reading, and she's not secure. That's a shame. There we go. So security, because folks are going to be worried about, are you exposing data, et cetera. So let's talk security, both from an Azure and a 365 standpoint.
So Contoso claims every other customer we work with, security is always top of mind for all the right reasons. Now, the learnings that we had are real simple. One is get started, stay disconnected, get some learnings going. Everyone, including security, needs to have something to touch and feel in the cloud to say, is this real? How do we break it? How does it work? The second thing is really, it's all tied together. You got to get security involved as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Why? Because we have security experts. Mike and I do security briefings, but they might need to talk directly to people up the chain in the product team.
Yeah.
We also, for some customers, they want to do a data center tour. They say, look, we want to kick the tires before before we fully sign off, because we're used to having our own building and our own security, and we do that with a lot of customers. And you have a quick story about one customer after they did a tour, and the security team was asked by the CEO, the CIO,
yeah,
what's the story here?
Yeah, so you know, this wasn't Contoso. In fact, we encourage other customers to do this. Before they came in, they had their senior leadership team from this. It was a bank, financial services.
Right.
Of all, you know, I mean, that gets about as, you know, short of
that's
ITAR in the secure, you know, in the defense contract industry. That's about as, you know, I'm trying to say it nicely. That's about as conservative in their approach as any industry. How's
right.
That?
That's
Is that good?
Well done.
I did it good. So the bank was in here, and this particular bank, they're a regional one up in this area, and what they had done, you know, we had their executives, we had the CIO, CEO, a number of VPs, they had the head of security. And as we're going through features, we were talking about sharing OneDrive and sharing documents, collaboration, moving all this content up there, Yammer integration, we're talking it all, right?
Right.
Indexing all this stuff and Delve. Finally, one of the VPs turned to the security guy who'd been silent, which is not usually the case
right.
for these things, turned to this person and said, you know, I can't believe you don't have anything to say about any of this. Are you concerned? What they had done was, to your point, they had taken a data center tour. They had met and had security briefings, met with our folks. They'd been through all the documentation in the trust center, et cetera. And he kind of said, look, we've already done our due diligence. We cannot, this is, I'm paraphrasing roughly because now I'm almost a year out but from this engagement. But he said, look, we can't, with our resources and money, we can't do as good a technical job of securing our data as they can. He said, you know, always there's people and processes, but from a technical standpoint, we can't do as good a job as them. So from his standpoint, his bucket, his checklists were all signed off on.
Right.
But we know there's things that people are looking for, and we want to talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And every customer has a different checklist on what's important to them.
Yep.
There are some common things, but that's where we walk through. We'll take them through their list, what's important, how things are done differently. And if you let's switch over to my screen. I just want to show a few things.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
We'll jump into the Azure console. So I'm going to talk Azure, but you know, there's an Office 365 story, there's the CRM story as well. You know, here, which is a quick dashboard view of our entire data center footprint across the globe. And one of the areas we have is called Security Center. So what this does is essentially, you know, people can sometimes put a server underneath their desk or build something out, and
you've never done that.
Security is always looking for those people. You know, our Microsoft's business and massive investment area is in security, because if we don't have that, we don't have trust from customers, is the bottom line. And so in that security investment, we will help customers find any of those hidden assets, because they're not hidden. We see everything that's deployed in the cloud, everything that's turned on, enabled, and can report that back to you. One of the things that I'm showing here in the Security Center is in this tenant I have, it's recommending 11 hot items here, and I could go through several things, but let me take a look at this. And what it's going to show me is that there are several VMs in here with recommendations around. Let's take a look here. Here it says enable data collection for subscriptions. We have to do that so we can actually get more feedback on those. Enable a VM agent. That's the intelligent agent that we have inside of VM, whether it's Windows or Linux, that can report back what the status is on several levels around security. There's no endpoint protection. We need a web firewall, etc. It goes on and on. It doesn't matter who deployed it or how it got there. We can report that back. So from around a discovery part, we're in really good shape. So this is one of the several areas that we can handle the security. And then we also have something called Microsoft Trust Center. So, you know, taking it up a level, one of the things they're going to ask is, what certifications do you have? What is Microsoft doing in their investing in? This is one of the areas you can see. So you can say compliance by a service. So we'll see Azure, You'll see CRM, Office 365, yep. Or you could say, hey, by location, what's going on in the EU or the other locations.
Because it differs by
it does.
Different geos, right?
And then, or do it by industry.
Absolutely.
Either way, whatever we select here, let me just select one and show you. So watch the bottom of the screen. Let's pick Office 365. You'll see a resort,
yep.
Here are the certifications. Dig into it. Again, just do it. Start digging into it. Come to us with the questions. We'll get the people that certify these things.
And
for
again, you.
You
know, that always, that's important. Again, this idea of, if you have questions, please come to us. I mean, we have MTCs worldwide. We would love to help you understand security for the cloud.
One last thing I want to show.
Yeah.
So it's Microsoft, Microsoft, Microsoft.
Yes.
But what about the partners and security? So
okay.
You might be a Cisco customer. You might be Barracuda, F5, any you could think of off the top of your head. Citrix, anybody. So if you come to the Azure Marketplace, let's say you standardize on Cisco, I want to put Cisco appliances in your cloud,
mm-hmm.
because that's what we do, and it just
yep.
That's our operational workflow. Come up to the Azure Marketplace, type Cisco, boom, here are several solutions, here's one of their firewalls, all the other things you see up here, type F5, boom, you get that again, and it goes across the board. So look at the marketplace. Our goal is to leverage what you use on-prem, and a lot of these partners feed into our security ecosystem. So we have something called Global Threat Intelligence.
Yep.
And whether it's Office 365, Azure, or partner solutions, they feed into that, and we can see much broader what's going on, not just in your tenant, but across the board. So that's,
nice.
So that's, I mean, what do you have to say about Office 365? Because I know on the productivity
side,
people are putting data in our service.
And that's where a lot of folks get really, I mean, they get the heebie-jeebies, right there. Oh, you. What are you doing? So a couple of things come to mind, and this is what we see over and over. In fact, this is a common scenario and something that Contoso has brought up, right? Is this idea that, look, we're going to start throwing data in, and I have some primary concerns around that. Number one, you know, I know people can synchronize data, and
right.
they start getting concerned. What if I turn on this OneDrive? What if they're synchronizing to computers and devices that are out of my control? Well, there are things, we're going to talk about the nuance in a bit, right? But, you know, my perspective from an architect standpoint is, look, as you're getting your feet wet, it's always easier to dole out things and to just turn everything on.
Right.
And then, you know, it's kind of like unscrambling eggs when you're trying to pull stuff back, right? So right off the bat, there's PowerShell commands that you can run, and we have that. If you go into TechNet, they mm-hmm. have all the sample PowerShells that are available for you. It's up on MSDN as well.
Yeah.
You can go in, run PowerShell, and you can make it so that no unmanaged devices can sync. Just brute force it all. Shut it all down, and then we'll talk in a moment about how you can start to open it up to your users. Also, they get really scared about people sharing data outside the org.
Right.
And there are multiple levels where you can do that, but just start off. So here let's take a look at the console in 365 again, right? So if I come here, and as we scroll through, you can see here's all this stuff where I can come in and start to look at reports, security, compliance, health. Down here, though, under these admin centers, one of the areas is security and compliance, and also SharePoint. So one of the areas of biggest concerns that we get is people saying, what if they start sharing documents that are in OneDrive or SharePoint or whatever, right, outside the org? Well, so I clicked it just a moment ago. This is what comes up. Whoops, that's the other one. There we go. And if we come over here, notice there is a link right here on the left to click. It's sharing. It's this simple. Right now, we're allowing sharing to authenticated users and using anonymous access links. Now, I could still save that there, and I could check this box here, anonymous access, and give an automatic expiration date.
Right.
Or I could simply, to start off with, right here, don't allow sharing. Just do it. Just turn it off while you're getting your head around this, right? As you're getting comfortable, just turn off the in fact, at Microsoft, when we first launched Office 365 to our users worldwide, those were the days, sharing was an option. But our own internal legal folks and security folks had not gotten their head around it, and they're like, that's cute, that's sweet, that's nice that you're enabling that, that's probably important. But no, until they were comfortable and had figured out how to leverage things like eDiscovery and some others that I'm going to talk about in a moment. They had turned it off themselves.
Yeah. So now you can move forward.
Yes. Don't be held back.
Feel good, but also know that you're good because your security needs are met.
They're met.
And open it up, as Mike said, as you go.
Also, just to kind of throw this out there, and I want to be cognizant of time, there's some other places. So right under here, under this same one, there is, it says security and compliance. So I did click that. And notice that brought us to this area now. Under here, I can do things like add DLP policies. Did you know we can apply DLP policies now across Exchange and SharePoint both? So we can one-time, one-shot deal. We have retention policies on enabling online archiving, e-discovery, where we can do legal holds, we can export for audit, we can set up predefined e-discovery queries, and we can run queries as we need to. It's all here.
What's nice is because Contoso and many other customers have some of this on in their own data centers, but it's in different places. Data's over here, data's over there. They're taking this as a new opportunity to kind of put everything in one spot, at least in one cloud, and have one policy across the board.
Right.
So that's exciting.
And so, and as you go, certainly you can start to open this up. Sharing, you could open up and do it just in a specific site collection, some other area. You could turn it on for OneDrive. But where it really gets interesting is we also have the capability around EMS.
Exactly.
And with EMS.
EMS is all about extending the protection that Mike showed just now, but out all the way to the endpoint, so your client. So he's holding up his phone, doesn't matter what the platform is, we're gonna secure the data there as well and prevent data leakage off and give you the ability to manage the apps and the data on those devices really easily. So think of EMS as an extension of Office 365 from a security point of view.
So we talked about just do it. We talked about security. Next up on the hit parade is because people get, again, concerned, I gotta do it all, at once.
Right.
Do they have to do it all at once?
They don't.
They don't, because we can certainly move towards a hybrid model.
Exactly, and a few comments around hybrid. So Microsoft, from the very beginning, has always wanted to give customers choice. Other cloud vendors often say, hey, come to our cloud, and that's the option. And we've built solutions across the board that work either what you have in your own data center and up in our cloud. And if it makes sense, eventually move it all up there.
Yep.
But that's your decision at your time frame. One of the most simplest examples, Mike's mentioned this a little bit, and if we just go to my screen, this is the simplest one, is Active Directory. Active Directory, you have it in your own data center. You don't have to connect it, but at some point you want single sign-on. You want that real nice experience for your end users. We're going to use Azure Active Directory Connect or some other certified third party to extend your Active Directory out, and so people can log in from anywhere around the globe. I like to bring in the green men who always come in. They'll come in, they'll log in here. Let's say that person decides to retire or move on to other things. We're going to disable them in your AD. That disables them up in the cloud. You're done. A lot of the same tools are used across the board, but that's a real basic example. When you start talking about the services we use in the cloud, that's where it gets exciting. Something simple as Exchange can be hybrid. SharePoint can be hybrid.
Absolutely.
And we have all the infrastructure. If you're operations manager customer, we have that store simple. Azure Site Recovery, your VMware customer, why don't we put your VMs for disaster up in the cloud? So hybrid is part of the DNA at Microsoft. The final thing, and then I'll hand it back to Mike, is the best way to connect your environment when you're ready to ours is usually through a private connection, and we call that express route. So private, high speed, most secure, and that just extends your data center to Azure. And now everything that you've done on-prem, if it's an agent, it just goes in a VM. Everyone just sees it as another VM.
It looks like you're dealing with your on-prem data.
Yeah, and that, again, once you experience it, it's easier. Guess what you can do? Use a site-to-site VPN. You can either Cisco, any other vendor, or out of the box with Windows Server, and do that in a test lab.
Nice.
It's beautiful.
It is. And and from a 365 standpoint, again, this idea of moving data, moving email accounts, we look at some of those base things, and services You don't have to move it all. We understand, look, people have made an investment, with, for example, with SharePoint on-premise. A lot of them are wanting to get out of the Exchange business because it's email, it's commodity. But they already have this stuff on-premise, and it's not going to move, especially if they've done custom application development in SharePoint.
Right.
The good news is SharePoint 2016 was released. They can move towards a model with upgrading in place their SharePoint environments to 2016. And 2016 is all about hybrid.
Okay.
So for example, you might move just your homepage up and your starting point for your search. In fact, here in back of me, let's go full screen with that. Here's our actual corporate portal at Microsoft. I was going to show Contoso's, but they got upset.
That's
they were like, well, that's our business. So here we are, and I've typed in the search term SharePoint. Now, in the past, when you searched on-prem or in the cloud.
Right.
Or you got back this like tabbed result. But let's go ahead. We're doing a search here, and look at this. It just says intranet. I don't know whether I'm looking on-prem, whether I'm looking in the cloud. In fact, I don't have to know.
Right.
It's everywhere, right? Because, and so here we're seeing a lot of cloud ones, but with SharePoint 2016 on-prem, it actually can understand with the its algorithms and federating the two, it can give you that single pane of glass for search. And that's important because now it allows you not only to provide a nice search experience, but furthermore, it's going to allow us to take and that data that's on-prem to surface it up in apps like Delve and others that we previously did not have. So then I can move stuff at my leisure.
Exactly. So what's nice about when you start that initial move, then you start looking at those other services like Delve that will never be on-prem because of the scope and size of the storage you would need and processing power, other machine learning things. But you get the benefits the second you start putting some things in the cloud. And it can do on-prem as well.
Yeah, so and that's, I think, our key differentiator, right? So where there's a lot of cloud companies out there, but where we differentiate is your ability to mix and match between the on-prem. You may just turn on those IDs in the cloud and turn on OneDrive and nothing else, or the video portal to support your rollout or something else.
And with Contoso and other customers, they're excited by this. They're going to start moving their Active Directory, email. They're going to look at CRM. But they're, you know, human resources and legal, they're going to keep a few things locked away in the back data center until at a later date. That's great.
And that's fine. And it's your choice.
That's right.
It's all about choice, right? So we've talked about just do it. Security, hybrid. That brings us to number four. We're almost at the end of our countdown. Prep and support.
That's right. What does that mean? Is that prep and landing?
Prep and support.
So there's a few areas of prep and support. One that I'll talk to really quickly is when you start leveraging these cloud services, it's time for the IT group to just reset expectations with the business because shadow IT has spread quite a bit across almost every customer we work with.
Yep.
Why? Because they can just go to a third-party cloud service, give them a credit card, and be up and running almost immediately. And that's great. The business needs to run at as fast as they can go. And time to market is what everything's about here. The flip side is now IT, because they're basically have governance over these services in the Microsoft cloud, can now re-engage with the business, say, listen, wouldn't you like single sign-on to some of these things? And how fast can we work with you to get things lit up? You now become the cloud provider, and you know the business better than anybody. So this reinvigorates the discussion between what IT can do for the business and really work at the business's speed. And that's across any service. But that's kind of the IT and business. Mike has a great experience and really just talking with customers on how to engage the end users and to move along this cadence, because the end users, they don't know what's going on, right? They have to be considered as like number one here to make sure that things get adopted, right?
Sure, and I think from a user standpoint, there's a couple of basic things you can do, right? From a user standpoint, I'm gonna go ahead and get out of our PowerPoint. And I did see we have a number of questions. We're gonna queue those up in just a moment.
Yeah.
So hold right tight. But if I come on back here, one of the services you get And again, this is something you could turn on. You know, we may not be starting off with lots of site collections, all these sites and everything else, but to support users, when you go to learn something, how do you do that today?
Today, I just start trying to do.
Let's say you want to you want to put electricity in your house.
Oh boy, you picked the wrong example.
You want to put in an outlet. How would you learn how to put in that outlet?
For me, I'd go online and look for a video. I don't want to read a book on how to do it.
Show me how.
Yeah.
So what we provide, one of the services out of the box is the video portal in Office 365.
Nice.
So they could, as a user, you could turn this on. Leverage Office 365, set up a channel. You don't have to give lots of channels. Don't give people the ability to create their own channels. Again, keep it controlled.
Right.
Then start to populate that channel with how-to videos. Now, we're going to talk about where you can get a lot of pre-done content in a moment.
Okay.
But you could go in as simple as this. If you take PowerPoint, which is what we had here, here's PowerPoint, right? There is a free add-on for PowerPoint called Mix. And Mix allows you to do screen recordings where you anything you show and do on your screen, it's going to capture your audio so you can do little 2 minute, as quick as I could walk through saying, you know, how to upload a document into SharePoint, submit it to an approval process, and then approve and publish.
Yeah.
I could go in and create, instead of taking an hour or more to grab screenshots and type it up, I could do 2 minutes, show somebody, and publish the video to the portal. So that's a beautiful thing. You leverage the portal. That is actually at Microsoft, our most popular content are the Show Me How videos. Right.
And can you break it out? Let's say the IT team, can the help desk have their own channel that only they have access? Maybe it's internal things. Same thing with other groups. And, you know, just kind of segregate it out in the sense of making sure people only see what they need to see and also not just have too much to look at.
Absolutely. So yeah. Great question. So what we can do is when you want to go to set up a channel, it's as simple as clicking. There's a plus box here under your channels. And when you set it up, nobody is added to that channel until you explicitly add those users or groups.
It. You could publish a lot. Okay.
You could,
before it's ready. Okay.
You could get, again, just do it. Get started, play around. This has been one of the most popular things. The other area I'd highly recommend, and again, just set up an area just for this, is Yammer. Set up a group, a discussion group, where people can post questions and get answers quickly. Folks can come in, that's what it's made for. So don't give everybody the ability to create groups and stuff. Create a Office 365 support group, right? Let them ask questions, have certain subject matter experts in your org answering them. And then based off of some of the questions, you can create video content and post and give it out to the org.
And Mike always reminds me, you know, this is all about changing the culture of the company in a positive way, but doing it in incremental steps and really taking the feedback as you go along.
Yep.
And he does a great job with customers on walking them through getting personal examples that they can leverage when they go back. So,
yeah, in fact, if
highly recommended.
If customers are interested, we have an offering at the MTCs on creating a knowledge base where we actually walk you through setting up a site collection with a portal on the front end.
Right, right.
Setting up your video portal, right, for populating it. Setting up a Yammer group and integrating it into one UI. A single interface for people to come in for support as you're rolling this stuff out, and we help you build it, help the customers, walk them through. In fact, and if they need to secure it, Todd shows you how to
make sure that the data goes where it's supposed to go
and doesn't where it's not.
Exactly.
So
great.
A lot of stuff we want to help you. That just brings us back to that MTC point. So after folks, we have one last point.
I have one finger left.
One finger, and then we're going to hit these questions, and we encourage you, if you have questions, post them. We want to answer them. So we have one last point on our hit parade, and that is this.
We're running on a fast track today. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
I love it.
So if users...
Yeah, so talked about you doing it, you doing a lot of things, and that's all true. But Microsoft knows you've made huge investments in us, and we want to make sure that you know of all the investments that are available to you.
Yep.
And one of them is called Fast Track, and that is essentially programs and services that you get to help you move to the cloud. And you get that in many cases as part of a service that you purchase. So Mike has the page up, so you want to show Mike's screen. Across the board, their CRM, that's a huge need for Contoso. We need Office 365, we need Mobility Suite because we got to secure those endpoints all over the planet. And of course we need Azure as we move other services up there. So, you know, bottom line is there, work with your account team, understand what assistance you get out of the box when you purchase one of these, and it's, you know, and just walk through that. That's one big chunk of the pie. The other one is we always have excellent Microsoft partners, and they can either, you know, they might know your business, you might have worked with them for a while, they can make that acceleration to the cloud go faster. Some of them have created unique, specific offerings to, let's say, migrate Azure workloads to the cloud at an unbelievable speed. So that's something else that they are able to do. And then finally, don't forget about your Premier contract. So if you have Premier support with Microsoft, they have offerings as well. And one offering that I'll just throw in there that talks about security is, one of our security leads said, you know, make sure people know if they have a Premier contract that they're really on, the customer has Premier on retainer if there's a security breach. So you can call us, get someone on the line, have that team that knows how to deal with ransomware and all kinds of breaches. That's all they do. Do you need someone on site? That's it. So talk to your Premier team about that offering so you understand and can set expectations right. So across the board, our goal is to have you covered. You're not on your own. Right. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and that really is important. We don't want you to be on your own. We want to help you. Some of those things around the just do it, like getting those IDs synced, it's part of Fast Track, right? So we want to help you out. Fast Track also has a wealth of material to get you started with. If you set up the video portal, if you set up a support area, there's all kinds of content. There's even templates for, you know, marketing to your own folks internally.
So it's not like a secret door you have to go through them. They actually publish what they do, but maybe you want to try some of it on your own and then bring them in. You know, that's, again, choice for you.
And then finally, and then we're going to hit the questions.
Yeah.
You know, if folks have questions, they want help.
Yeah.
There's these places all over the world.
Did they build something?
But that they've built, and they're staffed by people who work with this. What can they do?
Go to Microsoft Technology Centers across the globe.
Yeah, talk to your rep. You know, we would love to have you in. This is what we do. We provide briefings, architectural design sessions, proof of concepts. We have workshops. We want to help you, the customer, to be able to get started. And to do so confidently and not, you know, with all the unknowns that you might have spinning around. So, you know, contact us, come into an MTC and let us help you.
Perfect.
So we had some questions.
All right.
And we encourage you to post them. I'm going to start looking at them. The first question that we had was this. It was from, we've got one here. It's, I'm looking at the timestamps on these. So the first one question we had comes from Sasha Frederick, and he says, with ExpressRoute, I mean, for the new Microsoft Germany cloud. So he's talking about the Germany data centers from a Germany telecom.
Mm-hmm.
So is that something applicable to them from a data center point of view for Germany?
Yeah, so at least at a high level, what we've done in Germany and in some other instances is where there's really unique requirements from that country. We've worked really close and kind of built it to that country's specifications and certifications. And actually, you know, Germans run that data center. I'll use the word owned by Germany. Whatever it takes to make that fit into those regulations, that's what we do. And I would say Germany's a very, I'm partly German, so I know this. It's a very unique place, and it's a great place, and we love the Hofbrau House. But having said that, work with your account team on the details of Germany so we make sure we hit all the things right for you in that.
Yeah, so I mean, that's important. We really want to nail it. Germany does have some of its own pieces, but we're all about Germany in the cloud and meeting those requirements for security.
Exactly.
The next one that we had was from Keith. He said, you showed an Office 365 tenant sandbox already in place to play with. Mm-hmm. Good point. And he said, what is the first step in getting that sandbox set up to start from step zero?
Right.
So first of all, you could go through, you know, a, like something like Fast Track to set that up. You could work with your rep to come into an MTC or whatever, and we'll help you. But you could go as simple as going to Office 365 online to the initial site, and I think he's pulling it up, and sign up for a trial version. I mean, anybody can do that. I've done that, and I could. You can sign up for a full enterprise. There it is. He's clicking on. You want to pull up his screen real quick? So here we go. Try Office 365 free for 1 month. So with nothing else, you could set up a whole enterprise.
Right. So look for that. You can also add on. You can also add on Intune and some of the other EMS pieces to see how they complementarily work together. And then you'll get someone who asks you, "Would you like to talk?" So chat with this person who pops up on your screen, and they can help you get going. For the most part, those are throwaway. I call them throwaway tenants because after 30 days, everything's gonna be turned off. But that's what they're there for.
Yep.
Create one. Create another. That's what we do at Microsoft. We test things out.
And if you talk with your rep, we also have some programs where we can do a trial that we can extend.
Exactly. So get started fast, but always work with your account team because there's more that they can bring to the table.
That's kind of a recurring theme.
Yeah.
Work with your account team with your local MTC. So that's how you get started. It's simple. Our next question is, let's see, we showed a, oh, so John Wright asked, he said he was late to the webcast in an emergency and needed his attention. Will this be available later? And the answer is yes.
That's right, downloadable.
So we recorded this session, it'll be posted up. And yes, so John, you'll be able to see this. I do want to quickly call out, and if there's more questions, you know, by all means, post those. But this is just one of several we had last week, and so they can get that on demand.
So that's the first one. And just about everything we talked about, hybrid, security, CRM, are all sessions they're going to dedicate just to that topic. So our session was really, again, how do you jumpstart getting to the cloud and
get started. And one of the areas that people might want to expand to as they're, you know, really as they're expanding, as they're scaling, is to work with maybe a CRM system, which next week's going to be all about CRM online because there's some crazy things you can do with that.
Yeah.
And Siri thought I was talking to her, but I was not. So we want to make sure that you tune in for that. You know, definitely register. I'm trying to see if there's any other questions. I believe that was it. Sasha thanked you for your answer, by the way, on Germany.
Hey, thank you back. And again, work with your account teams. If you're watching this recorded, reach out. There's several ways, even if you're just trying something at home and you're in a garage, get something started, you know, change the world. We'd love to hear about it.
And if you're at a loss as to where to find things, you can always go ahead and bing Office 365, bing Fast Track, Microsoft Fast Track.
Microsoft Trust Center for the security content that you need. And look for Azure free trials as well.
Yeah. And that's it.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Todd. Thank you, Bill, producer Bill in the background, doing a stellar job. And we want to thank all of you for joining us today.
Appreciate
for
it.
Getting into the cloud. With that, this is Mike.
This is Todd.
Bidding you have a great day. Make sure you register for next week's session so you can learn about taking and getting CRM into the cloud as you start to scale. Have a great day. Take care.
Bye-bye.